College basketball is in full swing, and March Madness is here, with the media ready to anoint a team as this season's Cinderella and millions rooting for the underdog to prevail. It probably won't happen, but it did happen on April 1st, 1985 at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, when Raleigh Massimino's Villanova Wildcats shocked the basketball world by dethroning defending national champion Georgetown University. In the book, The Perfect Game, Villanova versus Georgetown for the national championship, Kyle Kiderling takes a look back at that game in 1985, and he joins us to reminisce about it this morning. Kyle, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure to have you. I grew up in Philadelphia and was in the state and in the city at the time when this happened, and it was such a big deal, and it was such an amazing story. And I realize in reading this book of how much I had forgotten. And what's fascinating about it is just the title alone, The Perfect Game. And that says so much about what an achievement it was, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was interviewing Dwayne McLean, one of the players from Villanova, he asked me, what are you going to call the book? And I said, well, I'm thinking about calling it The Perfect Game. He said, well, you can't do that. We had 17 turnovers. So he said, it wasn't a perfect game. But what made the game so memorable, Joe, is that there was such a gap in talent that year between Georgetown University with Patrick Ewing and Reggie Williams, David Wingate, Michael Jackson, Billy Martin. They were all future pros that could have been an NBA franchise by themselves, and they were pretty much prohibitive favorites to repeat as national champions. They'd gone to the Final Four 3 out of the last 4 years, so they were in familiar territory. Villanova, on the other hand, as you know, was a very unlikely finalist. They had gone through this Big East season, lost 10 games that year. Fortunately for Villanova, the NCAA expanded the tournament to 64 teams, and they got in by the skin of their teeth. They were a number 8 seed that year. But what people don't remember is that of the 10 losses that Villanova incurred that season, 5 of those were to teams ranked number 1 or number 2 in the country. That was the year that the Big East was truly a beast of the East. They put 3 out of the 4 teams. St. John's joined Georgetown and Villanova in the Final Four. So what people don't realize is that while Villanova was an overwhelming underdog, they had faced the top teams in the country on a regular basis that season. And another thing that I think readers will find interesting about this is while Georgetown University reflected the personality of their coach, John Thompson, the big, snarling, brawling black man, 6'10", 300 pounds, and he was in the press's face and sniping at the press, and they reflected that personality. You could hardly watch a Georgetown game in that season when there wasn't a fight or a pushing match. Georgetown just intimidated so many teams. But Villanova, oddly enough, Villanova was not intimidated. And what you'll find in the book is that of the two teams that they could have faced, Georgetown or St. John's, Villanova actually wanted to play Georgetown more than St. John's. They just felt they had a better chance. So the intimidation factor that Georgetown had going for them against almost everybody else was not present when they faced Villanova.
How much of this is Raleigh Massimino's story? You have him in the book saying, no one thought we could win, but I did.
Well, it's really a great story. Raleigh is still coaching, by the way, down in Florida at a little NAIA school in West Palm Beach, Florida. He took his team to the national championship game this year. He's 78 years old. He has more energy, Joe, than you and I put together. He's just an amazing story. And that team, that Villanova team was kind of an extension of Raleigh Massimino, just as Georgetown's was of John Thompson. Raleigh had this warm Italian family feeling about him, the way he grew up, and he thought of his players and still does think of his players as part of his extended family. And that atmosphere prevailed, and when Raleigh told his team the night before the game. Just go back to your room, close your eyes, and picture every shot you take going in. It wasn't just something to psych people up. They really believed in him, and he believed in their ability. And the key to that game was tempo. You could not, the Villanova could not afford to run with the athletes Georgetown had. And that game, now, you remember now, this is in human terms, we're talking about 1985, which was just, what, a generation ago in human terms, but in college basketball, it was the age of dinosaurs. That was the last college basketball game played without a shot clock, and there was no three-point shot. So the key to the game for Villanova was to control the tempo, and they did that. And so every possession in that game, if you remember watching it as I do, I mean, it was just so tension-packed because every possession was so important. Villanova took 11 shots from the floor in the second half. They made 10 of those 11 shots. And so it was nothing like the games we see today. It was a different era, and it was a huge upset.
Massimino and Thompson's Hoyas had met twice during the season, right, with obviously the Hoyas prevailing both times. What did they learn from those two games?
Well, the big difference was that was the Big East was playing with a shot clock on an experimental basis that season. It was the conference the NCAA selected to test the shot clock. And so when Villanova played Georgetown twice that year, they were playing with a shot clock. They had to put up a shot every 35 seconds or lose possession of the ball. When they got to the national championship game, there was no shot clock. So Villanova was able to – Rolly was a defensive genius. He was and is a defensive genius. And he was able to devise a defense that confused Georgetown's guards while at the same time having his team, Villanova, value the ball and make every possession count, and they did so. I interviewed Craig Escherich, who was Thompson's assistant at Georgetown at the time, and there was a kid on the Villanova team named Harold Jensen. His sophomore was a great shooter, but he lacked confidence, and Rolly spent the whole season trying to convince him he was a good player and he can get his confidence up. 4 minutes into that game, Rolly inserts Harold Jensen into the game, and Craig Escherich told me, boy, we were happy to see that. We thought we could turn him over more easily than Dwight Wilbur, and you know, sometimes you know you get what you wish for, and you're sorry, because Harold Jensen took 5 shots in the second half, made every one, and Craig Escherich told me every one of those shots was like a dagger to the heart of Georgetown. It was just unbelievable.
And obviously, in talking to Rolly Massimino, because he was – that happened – the game in 1985, and he stayed at Villanova, what, to 91?
And he left after the 92 season, went out to UNLV to succeed Jerry Tarkanian.
And that didn't work out very well. But you realize of just all the pieces that have to fall into place to have the story that you tell in this book. And obviously there's skill, there's great passion, but there's also a lot of luck.
Well, there was a lot of luck and a lot of psychology. You know, Rolly was able to convince these guys, Villanova didn't have a Patrick Ewing superstar like that. They had really good players. Ed Pinckney was a great player, and Harold Presley was a great player. But Rolly was able to mold these egos into a cohesive, as I said before, family unit, and convince them that they could play with anybody. And he gave them that kind of confidence to go up against the juggernaut, the Georgetown. Most times that season when Georgetown walked out onto the court, the other team was so intimidated that, you know, Georgetown was going to win the game before they ever tossed the ball up. But that was not true with Villanova. And while there's a certain amount of luck involved in that game, it was just a game that Rolly drew up in his mind, and everything that he envisioned came to pass. They took Patrick Ewing out from underneath the basket, drove him out to the foul line. Now, under the basket, he was a dominating player, the best in the country. But you put him out by the foul line, he was just like anybody else. So everything that that Rolle had devised worked that day. And, of course, it was April Fool's Day, but it was no joke. I mean, they knew what they were doing.
But, of course, there's that game, but there's just getting there, too. I mean, they weren't even expected to make it into the tournament.
No, if it hadn't expanded to 64 teams, they would not have gotten in. And then when they got in, they were given a number 8 seed. And, while that might be considered good, the seeding took them to Dayton, Ohio, where they had to play the home team. They don't do that anymore, but in those days they did. So right from the get-go, they were up against it. They managed to just eke out a win every time against higher-ranked and higher-seeded teams. None of them were blowouts. They were all close games, but they kept going and going and going. And, you know, when you got down to the final game, apart from the fact that Georgetown was the defending national champion and a dominating team, and everybody assumed they were going to win, in the minds of the public, Georgetown University was the team with the black hat. So they were kind of basketball's bad guys. And Villanova, on the other hand, was this little private Catholic school outside of Philadelphia, 4,800 students, with this roly-poly, whirling dervish coach that one writer told me looked like an unmade bed on the sideline, and people just embraced this team. Now, I don't know if anybody really thought they could win it, but they loved the story, and it you know, every year, as you know, we look for the Cinderella team, and in that year, 1985, Cinderella got to the dance and danced all the way to the end.
It's a beautiful story. It's told in The Perfect Game, Villanova versus Georgetown for the national championship. Kyle, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks very much. Again, you can find out more information about the book by going to villanovamiracle.com, villanovamiracle.com. The book is The Perfect Game, Villanova versus Georgetown for the national championship. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.